I want you, and I know this is going to be so hard for some of you, I want you to try to think back to when you were in high school, okay? I know that's a long time, Sam. And I want you to think about this. What were some of those one-liners or pieces of advice that your parents gave over and over again, okay? A little bit of sage wisdom. What is it that your parents used to tell you in your home? You heard this time and again. Emily?
Pretty is as pretty does.
Pretty is as pretty does. Okay, nice. What else? Nothing good happens after midnight. Yeah. I was wondering if we were going to get that one. Yes?
If you don't have something nice to say about somebody, just don't say anything at all.
If you don't have something nice to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. Way back in the back there. Yes, you.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Suck it up, Buttercup. What was that over here? Study hard, okay?
Mind your manners.
Mind your manners.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Anybody else want to give one?
If everybody were jumping off a
cliff. If everybody were jumping off a cliff, that's a good one. That reminds me of mine that I'm going to share. We heard this over and over and over again. The car is not a toy. The car is not a toy. In fact, y'all, we heard that so many times that I decided my kids needed to hear that over and over and over again. And I mention those because I want you to hear that just maybe it might have been hard to imagine in your teenage mind that your parents wanted something more than just to control you. That they might have been for you. Proverbs chapter 3, if you go to verse 1, I want you to see that Solomon writes and he says, "My son, don't forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandment for the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Solomon is writing, I believe, to teenage sons and daughters, his commandments and his wife's commandments, because it says, he talks about your mother's teaching. And he's writing, and I want y'all to hear this, he's writing for something more than to make you a good salesperson. You know, I love it when people say, I'm reading Proverbs because I want to become a better salesperson. I want you to know that he's actually writing first to the community of faith, those who were believers in the one true God, and he's writing so that they would be in right relationship with that one true God and right relationship with each other. So when we talk about wisdom, understand we're talking about this, living life according to God's order. Got it? Living life according to God's order. In some ways, you guys just gave a bunch of quotes of living life according to your parents' order in your household. Now, I want you just to think for a moment back when you were a high schooler and you were getting these one-liners from your parents, what you were thinking and feeling about your parents. What was that, Ben? Ugh. My dad must be old and crazy, right? My mom doesn't want me to have any fun. They don't understand me. They don't what?
Love me,
Mark. Yes, they don't love me. And I mentioned this morning, y'all, because how you view God is how you're going to view His Word. How you view God is how you're going to view His wisdom. You see, growing up, when I was hearing the car is not a toy, there were five teenagers in our household at one point, and our driveway looked like a used car lot of various cars of different levels of destruction that had already happened to them. And we had, at one time, I showed you another picture of another car I had, but at one point we had this. I had to drive a 1973 Ford Pinto. Yo, I hated that car. That was so, oh, it was a nasty car. A 1973 Ford Pinto. And in my wisdom and skill as a teenage driver, I would take that car to Bayou Barrier Road. It was a road next to a levee, and it was a shell road. Parents, cover your children's ears right now. And I would take that car. Can I see that car one more time? I'm just enjoying looking at this car as I tell this story. So I would take that Ford Pinto, and I would get it in this uncontrolled spin on this shell road by the levee, okay? The neighbors who lived in that neighborhood often didn't enjoy what it did to their mailboxes and their trash cans. I thought I was a genius and a professional driver. What I didn't know is what my parents knew. 1973 Ford Pintos were notorious. Y'all know about this? Were notorious for exploding on rear-end collisions. When my parents said to me, "The car is not a toy," they wanted for me life. I couldn't understand it at the time. Sure felt good doing uncontrolled spins in that car at the time. And my parents say, "The car is not a toy." And you know what God is looking for when He is delivering us, the book of Proverbs, is hearts that are open, right? And so I want to use two words for you to think about all the Proverbs. The words desire and the words life. Because how you view God is going to determine how you view His word and the openness of your heart, right? Desire and life. So first, let's talk about this word desire, because I want you to hear God has placed in you desires. And instead of saying, pretend like you don't have desires, actually, Solomon leans into this with his kids. It's why, if you go to the text, you see over and over again words like this in the book of Proverbs, verse 13. Blessed are those who find wisdom, who gain understanding. We're not talking hashtag blessed here. I'm not talking about your vacation from Hawaii or wherever it was. I'm talking about when the Bible talks about blessed, remember in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy says this about God's word. It says to the nation of Israel, this is your wisdom. Choose today whom you're going to serve. Choose between life and death. And it keeps saying, you will be blessed, you will be blessed, you will be blessed. You know what that means? That means to have God near you and to have God's protection as you are living life in accordance with God's order of things, okay? I want you to think for a moment before I talk about some of these other desire words. I want you to think about when you were in high school, what you wanted, what you desired, okay? Do we dare go there? What's something you wanted when you were in high school? I mean, you wanted it bad and you could taste it. What did you want? Popularity. Ben wanted popularity. Mark, being the competitive guy, played sports. Mark wanted to win. What else? Freedom! Yeah. What else? Friends. This one at friends, Christy, yeah. One at friends. What else? Car. One at a car. That's right, Peyton. One at a car, and it wasn't a 1973 Ford Pinto. You know what it was? What kind of car did you want, Peyton? I wanted a Ford F-150. Ford F-150, of course. Thank you, East Texas. Sorry. Peyton, what do you drive? What can I say? So here's what I wanted in high school. I wanted a 1957 black Chevy, right? Okay? Because Dickie Mudge had a 57 Chevy. And Dickie Mudge had a girlfriend. Can I say it? I wanted a girlfriend. And you know, it's fascinating to me. Because, y'all, this is so important. How you view God is how you're going to view His Word. How you view God is going to be how you view His wisdom. And I'm telling you, you do not have a God who's trying to stamp down all your desires and tell you they're bad. You have a God who actually created you with desires. He so much wants good for you. You know what He actually says? Now let's look at these desires and let's see if we can live life according to my order. And so Solomon, leaning into those desires, look at this. He says to his kids, verse 14, she's more profitable than silver, yields better returns than gold. Yo, my granddaughter is 9 years old. She's always asking me, Poppy, what can I do to make some money? Right? Reminds me when I was a teenager, I would do anything for some money, right? Mark, David, and Neil were always coming up for schemes to make money. So Mark comes to me one day and says, hey, Neil, I know we can make some money. What, Mark? I got a friend who knows this guy who owns an airplane. He wants us to wax the airplane. Airplane. I said, Mark, how much money for the waxing the airplane? He says, $200. I'm not dummy, you know? $200, Mark, that doesn't sound very much money to wax an airplane. Mark says, it's a small airplane. Y'all know how big a wing is on a small airplane? I'm thinking it's like 5 or 6 cars. Okay, $200, Mark and I are working on this airplane. By the end of our second 10-hour day, I'm calculating my silver and gold hourly wage, and it's not very good. But we did it. Because I wanted a 1957 Chevy and a girlfriend to go with it, right? And can we just acknowledge there are desires driving us this morning? To have friends, to win, to have freedom, all kinds of things. And somehow God has placed some desires in you. And when Solomon comes and he appeals to his children, he says, look at the next verse. All the wisdom, it's a pathway to, oh, let me do this one. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you can desire can compare with her. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Whoa. She's a pathway to peace, it says. What's the word peace in your Bible? Shalom. Hebrew word. It's a word to say life is working for you. It's the rabbis, when they came to the end of Genesis chapter 2, when it said the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. Can you imagine y'all getting married, not having to spend $60,000 for a wedding, not having to work your backside off to get a perfect video of the engagement moment? Can you imagine getting married where, ladies, you don't have to compare yourself to any other woman in a magazine, and you're not thinking, I wish I had more of that or less of this, and guys, you have no skeletons in your closet or in your mind or any of that? Shalom. Living life according to God's order. That's what God is wanting for people. How you view God is how you're going to view His Word. It's going to determine this sense of how open is my heart. How open is my heart? And Solomon comes and he appeals like a father appealing to his children. You know, this thing about kids rolling their eyes at their parents, you don't love me, you think I'm crazy. This came to me first hour. I want you to think about this for a moment. Mark, I like picking on you because you never mind. Mark, how old are you?
67.
67. You're 67 years old. I'm wondering how old your dad was when you were born.
25.
He was 25. So you're 67. If your dad was still alive, that would make him 87 plus 3 is 87 plus 5 is 93. So 93 and 67, just a 25-year gap. And your dad said to things to you, Mark, like, pick up your trash. The car's not a toy. He had this wisdom for you. I want to tell you, Mark, your dad was 25 years older than you. I want to ask you, how old is God? infinite. Is it possible that you are not right all the time? Is it just possible? Seriously. That we might need a wisdom beyond ourselves. That in the thing right now that you feel so sure about, you feel so angry about, you feel self-righteous about, could it be that you're not 100% accurate right now? You know what being wrong feels like, right? It feels like being right. Being wrong, think about some of the times you were so sure of yourself, you were wrong. And it felt like you were right. Okay? God has desires for us, and God is for life. Hear me say this. Desire and life. When you read the Proverbs, you got to get this in your head. God is for life. Look at verse 18. I really just want to camp on this verse for a moment. It says that wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and those who hold her fast will be blessed. Got it? Wisdom is what? A tree of life. You know, Solomon, when he looks at his kids, really he looks at them and says, I want you to know the greatest thing I can tell you about wisdom is this. She's a tree of life. She's a tree of life. So we're going to do a little review of the whole story of your Bible. Where do you find a tree of life? Genesis chapter 2. Let's put it up here. It says, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed, because God makes us with desires, and he is for life. And so we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, that out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, and there's a tree of life in the midst of that garden, and there's a tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. Now I want to tell you something. When the Bible talks about the knowledge of good and evil, it's not just here in Genesis. When the Bible talks about the knowledge of good and evil, it's talking about wisdom. It's talking about maturity, ability to do what God has called you to do. Can I just remind you that God actually had a really big, big purpose for Adam and Eve? He put Adam and Eve, he put people made in the image of God on this earth to rule and reign in his place, to be his managers, to be his stewards. Sounds like you would need wisdom for that. I got to thinking about this, y'all. I always imagined Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, when God brings them together to be married. I'm not sure why. I always imagined them to be about 37 years old. Nowhere in the Bible does it say they were 37 years old. It's just what I made up in my mind. But I want you to imagine Adam and Eve as teenagers, 17 or 18. And God brings them together. And you know, it helps me because the way Genesis describes Adam and Eve is a man and a woman very much in need of wisdom. In need of, how are we going to now rule and reign? How are we going to live life according to God's order? And that tree of the knowledge of good and evil represented a choice, right? It represented this choice. Adam and Eve, are you going to take wisdom however you can get it, when you can get it, do it your way, or will you allow God to provide what you need in his time and in his way? And I say that because that's exactly what Satan was up to when he said to them, let's put the verse up. When Satan said to Adam and Eve, for God knows that in the day you eat of this tree, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil. You're going to have wisdom. You're going to have maturity. And God's just kind of holding out on you. You ought to just take it right now on your own. And church, I want to tell you something. In some ways, this is the choice that everybody's facing all the time. Am I going to trust God, especially when I know that I'm right? And not just when I know that I'm right, to trust God when I'm living in a world that is constantly saying things like, That doesn't really make sense that God would say that. When I'm living in a world that the whole world could be going against what God has to say, and it could get really, really confusing, right? I mean, it's easy to judge Adam and Eve in that moment, but think about it. Let's go to the next verse here. It says that about Eve, that when she starts looking at that apple, when the woman saw the tree was good for food. So we're talking about desires, right? Right now. That there's a lot of things out there that feel and seem really good in the moment and actually are good because God created them. She saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to her eyes. God's created with these desires. And it seemed, it looked, man, that looks really good. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Because she needed that. She needed it. So she took from its fruit and ate it, and she gave it to her husband also, and he ate it. And see, every one of us constantly have to make this choice. Now we're at Proverbs 3, verse 5. Look at it in your Bibles, because I don't have it on my notes here. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Heart. Everything you've got. This is about something that takes everything I have. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your what? Your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, living life according to God's order. Y'all, this can we say this is really hard? Trust in the Lord with everything you have. Don't lean on your own understanding. Isn't that what we're being asked to do every day? Come on, this really doesn't make sense. Why would God ever say this? How can the Bible say this in light of all that's happening in our world? And you've got the same choice that Eve had to make there. We know she took and ate. We know that the next verse in Genesis that I have here, that God drove the man out of the east of the Garden Eden, and he stationed the cherubim, this angelic warrior, guard, and a flaming sword. You get the idea? You come under a flaming sword, you're going to get burnt and cut up, you're going to die. Which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Now they've lost the tree of life. And here's the story of the rest of your Bible. And this is so important how you view your Bible. And it's so important how you view God here. The story of the rest of your Bible is this. There is a God who's created you with desires. And there is a God who is for your life. He's for your life. And sometimes it's hard to understand, like it's hard to understand for a teenager to understand why their parents would say, the car is not a toy. He's for your life. And really what the rest of the Bible is, and so much of what we read that at times we don't understand, is God saying, I want you to have life, so you're going to have to live according to my order, and you're going to do this in a way that allows you to get close to me, a holy God. So you got the book of Deuteronomy, right? In the book of Deuteronomy, God says this, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Choose life or choose death, because what I want to do is I want to bless you. And again, what did it mean to be blessed? It means to have God near you. In fact, in Deuteronomy it says, this book is your wisdom. What nation has a God so near to them? I want to show you a picture of some scrolls, okay? I went to Philadelphia recently, and I got to visit the rabbis that I was studying with when I did the Hesed series. I got to go to Shabbat service, and I got to have Shabbat dinner with them. And we got there a little early, and Rabbi Yosef, let's show the picture of Rabbi Yosef, and then we'll go back to this slide here. There's Rabbi Yosef showing me one of these scrolls. Now, go back to the picture. These scrolls are over 100 years old. They were in a locked gate case that he opened up for us to see. Over 100 years old, a scroll was made of one unbroken piece of parchment, made of animal skins, and they were rolled up on pieces of wood. You know what Jewish people call those pieces of wood? Tree of life. Because they understood God's wisdom was the pathway back to the tree of life. Think about how often your Bible talks about this. How do you view God? How do you view His word? How do you view His wisdom? David, in your very first psalm, said what? Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight, his great desire is in the word of the Lord, and he will be like a what? A tree. A tree by some water that he's got a constant source giving it life. He's going to be like a tree of life. And when you get to the end of your Bible in the book of Revelation, when heaven and earth come back together, what does it say? There's going to be a river of life, and on the other side of that river, there's going to be a tree of life. What does God want for you? Because how you view God is going to be how you view His word. He wants life for you. And so, watch. I want you to see what happens with Solomon. So I can imagine Solomon having this discussion with his kids over and over again. Kids, let me tell you about the time when I was 20 years old. I had a Ford Pinto. No, he didn't have a Ford Pinto. He was too smart for that. Kids, let me tell you about the time I was 20 years old. I was just a young kid, and I was going to become king, and I didn't even know how to set a king's table. 1 Kings, I want to show you a verse here. Solomon prays. This is his prayer to God. Give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between what? Good and evil. There it is right there. God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom how to carry out my God-given purpose in life. Help me discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? And Solomon tells his kids, and man, God said, way to go. In a sense, Solomon had the same choice Adam and Eve had. When you read this, you're like, uh-oh, Solomon's going to live out Adam and Eve again. What's he going to do? Is he going to do the right thing? And he does. He says, God, give me wisdom. God says, not only do you get wisdom, you're going to get riches and honor. And so, when Solomon is at the height of his rule, when he's at his best, here's what we're told. In 1 Kings chapter 4, it says, Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. And they were eating and drinking and rejoicing because, church, God is for life. And He's for the life of His people. And when wisdom reigns, life reigns. And it's actually fulfilling the promise that God gave to Abraham, go multiply. And then in verse 24, we're told this, that Solomon had dominion over everything west of the river from Tiphsah even to Gaza, over all the kings west of the river, and he had what? Shalom on all sides. And then here's the kicker, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25. So Judah and Israel lived in safety, every man under his vine and his what? Big tree. Can I just remind you, we don't really know that it was an apple tree. We know it was a tree with fruit. And Solomon says, wisdom is a tree of life to all those who take hold of her. And when Solomon is choosing to reign in wisdom, living life according to God's rule, what happens? Everybody gets a fig tree. Everybody gets their own tree of life. And church, here's what I'm trying to convince you today. In a world that we are increasingly putting into question God's word and does it make sense for today, I'm trying to get us to not be like teenagers. I'm trying to get us to be open in our hearts to saying, God, you could speak to me about whatever. God, you could speak to me in a way that I might not even fully understand it. Because she is a tree of life. And what does the text say? She is a tree of life to all those who do what? Hold fast. Hold fast to her. So here's what we're looking for today, right now, is this. This is the idea that you hold fast to her, that you continually choose God's wisdom, that you make a decision, an ongoing, life-altering decision to say, God, I will pursue your wisdom. God, if you say confess your sins to one another and you'll be healed, that sounds really scary, but I'll do it. God, if you say don't keep all your money for yourself, give it, invest it, I'll do it. God, if you say get in the word constantly because in his wisdom, I'm going to do it. God, if you say live a life of purity, and if you don't know what it is, figure it out, I will. That's the idea, church. And I got to tell you something. I want to acknowledge how difficult this is. Adam and Eve failed, and they weren't the only ones who failed. Do you know who else failed? Solomon ultimately failed, right? He couldn't even live his own advice. Solomon became the wisest fool who ever lived. So you ought to say this morning, if that is true, if Solomon became the wisest fool who ever lived, what hope is there for me, right? What hope is there for me? And now I'm going to let you answer the question. What hope is there for me, church?
Jesus.
Amen. The answer this morning is Jesus. Because when Jesus was talking to some really wise guys, and they were rejecting him, he said, a wisdom greater than Solomon is here. When Paul speaks about Jesus, he says, in Jesus, who is in you, y'all, in Jesus, we have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Are we going to be open to that? See, here's what happened, y'all. Think this whole story of the Bible now. Genesis chapter 3. God comes to Adam and Eve and says, you live life according to my order of things. You live with wisdom. You live, you do what I say, Adam and Eve, and you get what? A tree of life, right? That's Genesis. Deuteronomy, Old Testament. Nation of Israel, you live according to my order. And what do you get, nation of Israel? Tree of life. Solomon and children, you live according to my desire. You live according to God's order, and you get what? Tree of life. Everybody was living under their own fig tree. She is a tree of life to all those who take hold of her and hold her fast. That's the promise. And Jesus comes, and God says to Jesus, Jesus, do what I say. Live life according to my order, Jesus. And you know, Jesus constantly said, what? I don't do anything except for what the Father tells me. And God says to Jesus, you live life according to my wisdom, my plan. And what did Jesus get? A tree of death. This is the gospel. This is what your Bible says, and it says it so that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt. There is a God who is for you. There is a God who has created you with desires, and that God is for your life. And what he is looking for is a heart that's open, a heart that's able to say, God, your ways, not my ways. A heart that would hold fast, a heart that today would do this, that would choose consciously, decisively, wholeheartedly, yes, I want to pursue God's wisdom. So I want to invite you to stand, and here's how I want to close this morning. I want to close by giving us a moment here together to, in essence, say, I want to hold fast. I want to hold fast to the wisdom of God, okay, church? I really want us to kind of have this sense of commitment. Whatever the whole world does, I want to hold fast. Whatever the voices that are coming into our lives saying, wow, does God really not want to give you that? To hold fast. So I wrote something that I'm going to invite us to say. I just want you to listen to it first. This Bible is God's wisdom. God is for me, not against me. With all my heart, I trust in His wisdom. I do not lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge Him. I choose God's wisdom. I choose God's life. I have all. In Jesus, I have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, church? So if you have a physical Bible, I'm going to ask you to grab it and you can hold it up. If you don't have one, that's okay. You can just hold up your hand. I'm going to use this to start my sermons in Proverbs. And we're going to start today. Just you hold up your Bible and you say this along with me. This Bible is God's wisdom. God is for me, not against me. With all my heart, I trust in His wisdom. I do not lean on my understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge Him. I choose God's wisdom. I choose God's life. I know that in Jesus, I have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen.